As I was doing my daily devotionals this week, I'm in Matthew, and I was reading the, you know, I've preached on the greatest man, the part about where the lawyers came and to Jesus and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" Said, "Honor the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is the greatest." And they said, "The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You've never preached on that one." I said, "No. I'd like you to do that this week." So I began to look through the Word of God and to see what is my duty to my neighbors. What does the Lord require of me with my neighbors, and who is my neighbor? So I had to establish that first. Who's my neighbor? Because when we were growing up, you know, or even now, somebody will say, "Do you know such and such?" Or, "Yeah, he's my neighbor." Well, that's because he lives close to me. But is that really all that's our neighbor? Just does he live close to us? No. So I looked it up in Webster, and one of them said it's your fellow man. So as I looked at all of the what Webster said about who's your neighbor, it's pretty much everybody that we're associated with in life, everybody that we live around and spend life with, work with, go to school with, children go to school with. Who's your neighbors? The ones who you do life with. So it really doesn't leave anyone out. So we're to love them as we love ourselves. And so that's we're gonna look at that today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for just the opportunity to be here in your house, Father, with the church. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings for this week, Father, for the promises that Paul pointed out this morning, for the thousands and thousands of promises that you give us, Father, that we know we can trust you and that you'll keep your word, because you are the same every day. Hallelujah. Father, as we look at your word this morning, Father, I ask that you will speak through me to the church, Father, and that we will have ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin in Matthew 22. That's where I was reading yesterday morning whenever the Lord told me to bring this message. And it starts out, well, I'm just going to begin in 36. And as I said, this was the Pharisees and the lawyers, experts in the law, it says, where they came and says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" So if you go back to the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments actually, as it says here at the end, it says all this, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I went back and looked at the Ten Commandments. We're not going to take time to look at all of them today, but they all talk about either loving the Lord and putting no other, having no other gods except Him, or things that affect our neighbors or the people that we live with. Don't steal, don't covet, don't... There's a lot of them that even talk about our neighbors. Two of the commandments talk about things that affect our neighbors. So that is what the law is set up on. These kind of things that protect us from hurting each other and teaching us to love one another. So he says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." And I know I've preached on that one before. Matt, another Matt, probably all have as well. We've just heard that so much. And it was strange that I was reading, and he told me, he said, "You haven't preached on that one less." And I said, "Okay, I get it." But to love the Lord your God, or love your neighbor as yourself, is the second commandment, it says. And then it goes on to say that all of these all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, I was asking the Lord, so then, what is my duty? What do I have to do with my neighbors? And I got to thinking about growing up. As I have told you before, I grew up in a Mennonite, in the Mennonite church, a godly family, and as far back as I can look and remember, my grandparents and their families were godly people. And so in the Mennonite church, I can remember several disasters that happened here in the state of Ohio. And Mennonites have a disaster service called MDS, Mennonite Disaster Service. I can remember going as a young man or youngster with our parents to these different catastrophes and helping to clean up the mess. It was something that we did. These were people that needed help, and the church went to help. This is what we did. We took our chainsaws and tools, all kinds of stuff. We removed trees, we fixed houses, we fixed roofs, we fixed whatever needed fixed. I remember a time we went to Xenia. I think there was another place that we went to do tornado. I remember a time when Mount Vernon flooded. I don't know if any of you remember the time. Mount Vernon was a floodplain before they built the big dam at Fredericktown. The Cocosing River would get so full of water that it would just put Mount Vernon underwater. And I can remember going there as a youngster, and we would... So the houses in Mount Vernon had 2 to 3 inches of mud on the first floor, on the whole floor, and we would go in and scrape that all up and bucket it and get it out of the house and wash the floors down to help people be able to move back into their houses. Taking care of our neighbors. So in our church family, there was two different times in our church family that men got their hands in corn pickers and it took their hands off. And I remember both of those times, the guys would just stop what they were doing, take their tractors and corn pickers and wagons and go to those places and help them get their crops off. Because they couldn't do it. They were unable to do it. So another instance of taking care of your and helping your neighbors. Just when someone's in need, that's what we do. Let's go to Leviticus. And I'm amazed that I had never seen this one before. But I found it there in Leviticus chapter 19. And we're just going to look at verses 9 through 18. So this chapter of Leviticus in my Bible is titled Various Laws. And these are the ones that have to do with our duty to our neighbors, what we're to do to take care of our neighbors. Verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. So he's talking to the children of Israel here, but we can take a lesson from it, can't we? Don't go back and clean up, but let that for the poor, so they can come and gather the gleanings from your harvest. Verse 11 says, do not steal, do not lie, and do not deceive one another. These are three very important things that would affect how you live with your neighbors, how you live with people in society, how you live with the people you work with. Don't steal from them. You understand what happens when you steal from somebody else or when they steal from you? I never did like a thief, and it just irritates me. So I don't steal from anybody because I don't want anybody to steal from me. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as you'd love yourself. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. And do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. As an employer, I've always thought of that one because I don't pay my men every day. Never have. But we always pay by the week. I always try to never have to hold over to another week. There has been times in our lives when we didn't have enough that week, and I just have to tell them, I don't have the money this week, I'll catch it up to you next week. And that's a hard thing as an employer. For me, that was always hard. I always wanted to be able to pay a man for what he deserved. And so that's one of the laws that we have for hired help. And it actually says, and you, if you read about the time when Jesus had the men, he hired the men and sent them out for the day, and then at the evening he paid them all off, and that's what this is talking about. Apparently that was a custom in those days. If you hired a man for the day, you paid him that evening, and it was taken care of. Now it's by the week or by 2 weeks. I don't know if anybody goes longer than that or not. Does anybody go longer than 2 weeks for pay? I haven't ever heard of it. But that's just standard now. You work for a while and you get paid for it. But so don't withhold somebody's wages. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Treat everybody with equality. These laws have been put into effect from the Lord years and years and years ago. When he created us, he had to put laws in effect so we could live together without hurting each other. And those are the kind of laws that we still have today. They're there so that it protects us from hurting each other, so that we can live together in harmony, basically, is what it's for. Verse 16, do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. And there are several places in the Word where it talks about if someone does something against you, rebuke them gently and go to them and make sure you work it out, get it taken care of so that it doesn't continue to grow and fester and become a big deal where they want to kill you. Do not hate your brother in your heart. And this is not talking about a blood brother, but a brother in the Lord, or a brother that you associate with in life. Don't hate them, rebuke your neighbor frankly. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So there it is again. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's hard to hurt someone else if you love them as you love yourself. It's hard to want something bad for them or even something that will harm them in any way. So that's why he says it the way he does. Love them as you love yourself. Because we take care of ourselves, don't we? We're really in a society that thinks a lot of itself. And we have to be careful that we don't become selfish. Let's now go to Romans Romans 13. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 in Romans. This is another spot where it has some good advice for us. Romans 13. This is actually talking about submission to authorities. And I've got a note in my Bible here. It's submit back to Acts 5 also. Acts 5:29 talks about the same very thing that this does, and I'm not going to go there. But let's look at the first 10 verses here in Romans 13. Everyone, and I hadn't really thought about this one, but it's just something that the Lord showed me yesterday as I was preparing the message, that it's important that we submit to those who are in authority over us. In fact, I have a little card that I keep in my daily prayers that I pray for the people who are in authority over me, because if they follow the Lord, I know that it will be a lot better for my life when those in authority over me follow the Lord as well. And it says that we are all to submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. When you look at it that way, it's a little easier to submit to authority. They are established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. So those in authority over us are put in those positions to protect us, to care for us, to do good for us. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You had to put that part in about taxes right after we raised all of our taxes, didn't it? I suppose all of you got that notice last month that our taxes went way up again. And it's been kind of a hard thing to swallow again this time because it went up so much. But this is, according to the Word of God here, we're to pay our taxes, probably without grumbling. It didn't say that here, did it? All right. Jamie says it didn't say that here without grumbling. So, but we are required to pay that. So, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So here again in Romans, you see that same verse, that same second commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. And finishing up today, we're going to go back to Matthew. We're going to finish up in Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. And I noticed that Matthew 22 and 25 are both just about the same verses. This one in 25, I have 35 to 40 instead of just 34 to, or instead of 34 through 40. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. So this is the one that's talking about the sheep and the goats. And I'm going to start in 35. It says, "For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." So in caring for our neighbors, we're sharing God's love. This, and if you go on, this is actually talking about the end time and how those who didn't do those things ended up going to into the lake of fire. And so it's important that we walk with the Father, that we care for our neighbors, that we love one another, and that we love your neighbor as we love ourselves. Matthew 7:12 kind of sums it all up in the golden rule. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." So as you go this week, remember to love your neighbor as yourself. And it'll just be, it just makes the world a better place if we care for one another and take care of the needs of those around us. If any of you have a prayer need this morning, we would love to pray with you. If there's anybody who has never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that, I always want to give a chance for that. So as we sing this last song, why, if you have any kind of need at all, I'll come and we'll pray with you. We'll be here to help to pray with you.